If you've attended a wedding, you know it's general practice before the bride comes down the aisle to stand when you hear the call, "All rise." It's also why I've asked Cheryl, my wife, to check with me before the ceremony to make sure that I have a note in my book that after the bride enters, there is an equally important words. Do you know what those words are? Please be seated. You can't stand forever. At some point, we all have to sit down. And this message is all about taking a seat. So the big idea, or the big theme for today, what I want you to get out of this is this. You are at your best when you get your rest. You're at your best when you get your rest. So not too long ago, we all felt like we were locked in. We couldn't do anything that we wanted to do. Now, it feels like we have swung completely in the opposite direction, the extreme where there's too much and we can't find time for it all. And it doesn't really matter if you have little kids or big kids or no kids. Life has simply gotten really, really busy. And even though you have a packed schedule, doesn't it still feel like, in some ways, something is missing? If you're like me, you get a fleeting recollection of a time when you experienced quiet, unhurried moments, and sometimes you wish you could somehow go back there. Part of that hurried life is that we're afraid that something will pass us by. It's that FOMO syndrome, fear of missing out. Do you ever feel that? But the truth is, I think that the busier that we get trying to do it all, the more we actually do miss out. In his book, Stress Fractures, Charles Swindoll, he says, "I vividly remember a time being caught in the undertow of too many commitments and too few days. It wasn't long before I was snapping at my wife and our children, choking down food at mealtimes, feeling irritated by those unexpected interruptions through the day. Before long, things around our home started reflecting the pattern of that hurry-up style. It was becoming unbearable." What's the undertow of your life right now? Is it too busy? Is it becoming unbearable for you? How about for those around you? Are they feeling that it's unbearable? If that sounds familiar, then here's my word for you. Please be seated. Some years ago, Cheryl and I returned from an extended vacation or ministry leave, and a coworker asked her if she was okay. Cheryl thought for a moment and said, "Yes, why?" And they said, "You seem different, like something is wrong." Actually, nothing was wrong at all. Cheryl simply realized that she had learned to slow down over that period of rest and take things as they come, one day at a time, an unhurried pace. And I find that interesting that unhurried pace was obvious to those around her, and also interesting that restful place can be seen as something must be wrong. Maybe you feel like rest is an add-on. Like you think, if I rest, then I will rust. You know, the old saying goes, better to wear out than rust out. You know, there's some appeal to that idea, certainly, but does it really work? Maybe instead of rusting out, we just need a better definition. We have a rusty definition of what rest is. The Bible actually teaches us that it is a rhythm of life that not only includes rest, but actually looks forward to it. In a study titled Tired Nation, it's reported that the average American wakes up feeling well-rested only 3 mornings out of the week. I think lucky people. It finds that the average person doesn't get anywhere near the quality or amount of sleep they want. So do you have a morning ritual with your alarm snooze? Be honest. Do you pop out of bed feeling refreshed? Most people feel like the amount of sleep required by the average person is about 1 hour more, right? You ever feel like that? Just one more hour. Give me one more. So why is that? Here's why. because you need rest. Let me say that again. You need rest. So I want you to be a witness and turn to somebody beside you and tell them you need rest. Go ahead, take a moment. Online, type that in the comments. And I hear some laughter like, yeah, right. Well, we need rest. And the first kind of rest that we need is actually physical rest. Did you get that, students? Physical rest, which means that you really can't stay up till 3 a.m. scrolling on social media and wake up feeling rested and ready. You need rest. Now, I'm probably guessing that applies to some adults as well. You need rest. You need sleep. That might, it's a non-negotiable for human beings, physical rest. And the goal isn't to rest so that you can catch up, so you can go another stint without it. Actually, the goal is to include a rhythm of rest in our lives. Jesus practices that rest rhythm. He wasn't afraid to rest when it was needed, even if others didn't approve. So we look at Matthew 8:23. We found out that Jesus and his disciples are in a boat. It says they got into the boat, his disciples followed him, and suddenly a furious storm came up on the lake so that the waves swept over the boat, but Jesus was sleeping. So I want to make a connection here to our own need for rest by looking at Jesus. So the Son of God, who is fully God, fully human, he has the same body you and I have. John 1:1 says, he created them so he knows what our physical bodies need, and he knows that our bodies need sleep. So what does he do when he gets tired and exhausted? Jesus slept. So think about this for a moment. Even when a storm was raging around him, Jesus slept. How do you sleep in the midst of your storms? So his disciples, they weren't sleeping. They woke him because they were afraid for their lives. And Jesus rises up. He rebukes the storm. He stops it. Everything is still. And he asks a real probing question. And that comes to us as well. He says, why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith? So as a follower of Jesus, we need to follow Jesus, even when it means getting the rest that we need, because he knows that you are at your best when you get your rest. So if you're afraid and you think that, you know, rest would be nice, but, you know, you don't know my life. I can't slow down because I don't want to miss out. And if I don't stay busy and do all the things I can do, then I think that Jesus would simply ask, where's your faith? Why are you afraid? You know, you and I might think that we don't have time for rest, especially when you're doing good things that you know have to be done or things that you just don't see any other way of accomplishing it. So let's look at Mark 6. The apostles, they gathered around Jesus and reported to him all that they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they didn't even have a chance to eat, he said to them, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. And so they went away with Jesus by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. So in the midst of an amazing ministry season where things were going great all over, people were coming to Jesus everywhere. And he says, let's go get some what? Let's go get some rest. C.S. Lewis's spiritual director, W. Adams, he wrote, to walk with Jesus is to walk with a slow, unhurried pace. Hurry is the death of prayer and only impedes and soils our work. It never advances it. Each of us has to really come to terms with our own limitations. And one of those is we need rest. And that does leave us with some restless tensions. So let's pick up with the disciples' attempt at rest, because that's what it ended up being in 6:33. It doesn't seem like rest happened. Many, it says, who saw them, the disciples leaving, recognized them and ran on foot to from all the towns and got ahead of them. And we can guess by now that they're tired. Ministry runs way into the evening. The disciples know that, you know, this needs to end at some point, so they suggest that Jesus sends them all away to get food, and Jesus gives them this. He says, you give them something to eat. And I think here's the point. They can't. They can't do it. There's too many people. And here's what I want you to get out of this. No matter how they try, they can't do what Jesus asks on their own. And if we go back to the boat when the Son of Man needed some rest and he was sleeping peacefully in this violent storm, you know, who knows? They were probably all very tired, but the disciples didn't sleep. Jesus did. Why? Because he knows something that we all need to embrace. He knows, Jesus knows, he is not alone. The psalmist in 4:8 says, in peace I will lay down and sleep, for you alone, Lord, make me dwell in safety. See, rest is divinely ordained. It's part of God's created order. And while you sleep, while you rest, God is still in control. I want to say that again. While you sleep, God is still in control. Some of you remember Harry Fraunfelter. He was always the first one to church here on Sunday mornings. He was up very early in the morning. He went to bed very early in the evening. And he must have been onto something because he lived over 100 years old. So his daughter used to say that Harry slept the sleep of a man who was at peace with himself. Harry knew that rest was God's idea, and he was just fine with following God's plan. Rest is actually God's plan for you. Did you know that? God's plan for you is rest. I found this bit of insight. I thought it might be helpful. It was from Leadership Magazine. It says that sermons can have a spiritual awakening result, but often affects people in different ways. Some rise to go greatly strengthened. Some awake, greatly rested. For some of you that are asleep, you didn't get that. I had a professor who once told our seminary class a profound statement after we were all whining and complaining, telling our woes that, you know, we were all too busy. We were working, trying to raise our kids, doing full-time jobs. We were trying to do class, read our assignments and write. We were all just exhausted. And he said something that really stuck with me all these years. He said, sometimes the most spiritual thing you can do is take a nap. Take a nap. Are you looking to grow spiritually? Maybe you start right there with a nap. When is the last time you really took time to rest? Like you really just shut down and put everything off. The psalmist writes God's word in Psalm 4:6. He says, be still. God says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Be still. Stop chasing. Rest. And find God in that unhurried life. Jesus modeled this rhythm in his own life. In Mark 1, it says, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Now, I have to admit, I'm not a fan of that early in the morning part. But the point is this, Jesus recharges by finding a quiet place to spend time with God the Father. So Jesus gives us an example. We also need to get away with God. We need to get filled and recharged, or the result is continued fatigue and eventual burnout. So I appreciate, I really do, that some of you actually find rest in being out in the fields hunting. Like hours spent in this quiet outdoors of nature. Experiencing God in all that creation has to offer, away from all that busyness of life. But the point being is that whatever that quiet place is in your life, wherever you find it, It starts with slowing down. Slowing down. So Cheryl and I were practicing this. We're taking this week a short anniversary trip, a rest that is hopefully good for the soul. For each of us, it starts by connecting with God. As Jesus described to his disciples, he said, come away with me to a quiet place and get some rest. I did a brief unofficial survey with the church, and there seems to be a real need to slow down for a season. So we've been on a big push. The truth is, actually, not just life and ministry here at the church, but for some of us, everyday lives, everywhere. Harvest has been straight through without a break. That takes a toll. Some of you have been working longer and harder for less return than it used to be. That takes a toll. For some of you, circumstances have caused you to be extra burdened. That takes a toll. Maybe the best thing we can do as a church is take a bit of a time for rest. You may notice that we aren't actually scheduling a fall supper. You need some rest. We're not having added activities beyond our key ministries right now, which there's plenty of that, because you need some rest. People have said that Bethlehem Church always has something going on. And again, there's still plenty going on, but you also need some rest. So I'm going to do something that I haven't done for 19 years here at Bethlehem Church. This is not by nature my way of doing things, but I'm calling a season of rest for Bethlehem Church. A season of rest. Now, just take a moment. For some of you, that might be an initial shock, like, what? What does that all mean? So let that soak in for a minute. Bethlehem Church is taking a season of rest. Now, I imagine that for some of you, there's a little bit of a sigh. It's actually okay. You can slow down. It's godly. You have permission to rest. And here's why I'm confident in suggesting this, because it's actually not my own idea. Right? Scripture is full, over and over, reminding us that it is a crucial part of that rhythm and pace of life as a Jesus follower. So what good does it do you to run and run and run after the whole world and have your soul suffer for it? No good. The psalmist wants you to follow his lead, reminding yourself, truly, my soul finds rest in God. Are you anxious? Are you spiritually taxed? Are you burdened? Are you striving to push through, carrying a heavy load, maybe more than you can handle, telling yourself that I have to do it and I'll get through it, but you're honestly wondering, really, will I get through it? Can I? Or will I eventually fall to pieces in sheer exhaustion? Are you tired of being tired? Are you struggling to find peace for your soul? The remedy is actually rest. Rest for your soul. You know, it's spelled out in the Ten Commandments. Maybe you didn't realize this in Exodus 20. The scripture says, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. And Jesus expounds on this command in Mark chapter 2. He says, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Sabbath was made for you. You're not made for the Sabbath. You honor God by taking a commanded Sabbath. But that Sabbath rest is for you. It's for you. In Hebrews, the Apostle Paul writes, there remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works, just as God did from his. So let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest. Well, the Sabbath rest here that Paul is speaking about is actually a future reality in the new heaven and the new earth with the coming of Christ, the second coming. But we actually, by faith, live in that right now. Jesus spoke about that kind of rest in Matthew 11, 28. He said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Say rest. "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest," say rest, "for your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light." The unique part of this is that the soul rest comes not from laboring harder to get some kind of spiritual utopia, but rather it is placing your burden within a yoke. A yoke is this example where it goes over two animals so that they can share a load or pull a plow together. So it is yoking. Jesus says, "Take my yoke upon you. Take my ways upon you. Take my rhythms upon you." And learn to embrace Sabbath rest as a way of life, because it is actually within this yoke that your soul finds rest. Martha Captain, she shares, "My granddaughter overheard conversations about an occasional heart problem that I was having, loud beating I experienced when I would try to sleep. One evening, her father heard her concerned prayer, 'Lord Jesus, please make grandma's heart stop so she can get some rest.'" Now, I'm not praying that your heart stops, but I am praying that your soul finds rest. Maybe it starts with a simple needing a nap. But don't assume that physical rest alone is the answer. And here's the key. That physical rest is simply equipping and preparing you for that deeper rest that your soul truly seeks. And that rest is found in God alone. So I invite you to a Sabbath rhythm this coming Christmas, one that invites a slowing in your life, so that you can do as the Lord invites in Psalm 46, get still, be still, so we can be still and know that I am God, Jesus, or the Lord says. So it seems counterintuitive in the busiest season of the year to slow down, but that's what I'm encouraging you, slow down. There's a still small voice that is calling, "Come to me. If you're wearied, if you're burdened," Jesus says, "come to me." Begin to pattern your ways around the life of the one whose yoke is easy and who knows that you are at your best when you get your rest. So his desire is your rest in worship, that you enjoy unhurried seasons of prayer, that you find solace in silence and connection in solitude. So this Advent season, be still and find rest for your soul. Let me pray. Lord God, we are part of a system in a life that tells us to give 110% or more, to give our best, to always press in, to do more. And yet, Lord, that seems the opposite of what you are commanding, both in the command to take Sabbath rest and also, Lord, in Jesus' acknowledgement to his disciples that they need rest. So, Lord, help us to take on a new rhythm of life this season. Lord, help us to rest, to slow down, Lord, to set aside some things if they need to be set aside, or simply, Lord, to recognize that you are waiting for us to step into your yoke, to walk with you, that you are ready and willing to carry our burdens. So, Lord, the idea of rest, it seems appealing and so elusive, but help us, Lord, to find it. Help us, Lord, to find you and in you find rest. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.